Amen. Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Good to see you all, and especially great to see Pete and Anna and Freddie back with us. We've missed you. It's great that we're up there, and there he is. Now look there, and there's Pete's not there, but he's over there. But yeah, we've been praying a lot for you, thinking about you guys, and I'm so glad that you're back here and Freddie's flourishing and doing well. So what a wonder that is. Great, and great to see a few visitors and other friendly faces as well. So welcome, and hope that God's going to speak to you this morning through what I'm going to share. And actually, thank you, Vincent, for praying for me. And Gabriel, Vincent, Janet's son, came up to me and said, oh, I saw you at All Saints School. I had the privilege of going in to speak to the children there. It's like 150 kids. It's like, it's quite daunting, actually, when you're standing. And but it's such a privilege to be able to go and share Jesus and say, I was talking about compassion and just talking about the life and the love that God has for them. And just even, it's such a privilege even to stand up in front of these kids and just, you know, just say, Jesus is alive, that he's my best friend, he can be your best friend, and that he's the most brave and compassionate and loving person that ever existed. Even if that's all I get to say, I think it's such a privilege and joy to be able to do that. So all the parents of all the kids of the were there at All Saints, I'm getting all these like messages from the parents saying you spoke on compassion. They're getting the downloads. At least they're listening to what I spoke about. But please pray for more opportunities, more open doors, more connections with schools, that because it is a joy to be able to go and in some way just represent Jesus. So this morning I want to talk about the heart of a worshipper. And it was lovely to see people coming forward to worship and to give worth, to give honor and love to Jesus, because ultimately that's what it's all about. I remember, who remembers in lockdown, and we were able to open the church, but we weren't allowed to sing. Does anybody remember that? My goodness. And but do you know that doesn't stop you worshiping? I remember having that mask on. I remember coming. I was, to be honest, I was pushing the boundaries. I was like humming. If your humming was allowed. And but my heart was to worship. My heart was to love upon God and to be together with his people. So we gathered together, and it was difficult, and there was restriction. But we found a way to worship God. My friend Richard van der Root, there was a time where he lost his voice, and I think it was for several months. He lost his voice. He couldn't vocalize worship. But he was able to whistle. Have you ever heard of the whistling worshiper? Even now, when he comes to meetings, often you can sing now, but often you hear him whistling. And I thought, how weird is that? But then I realized actually it came out of him not being able to speak, but he had a heart to worship. And that's why he does it. So if he comes here again, my very good friend, so you'd be nice to him, he finds ways to worship. And guys, this is the heart of a worshiper, is that whatever the barriers are, whatever the difficulties, whatever the challenge, we will find a way to worship our God because he's worthy. There's something in us that is bubbling up that we can't contain it, that it should be when we know and we encounter and when we experience God, the knowledge of God brings us to worship. It does. The knowledge of his grace, of his incredible mercy, of who he is, his compassion for you, it brings us to worship. It can't bring us to anything else. It's awe and wonder of who he is. And even some of the most difficult and challenging verses in the Bible, you read, but then you realize that our God is a holy God. That thank God that actually he is restraining himself from bringing judgment upon this earth because of all the sin and stuff that's going on. But he is withholding And that just brings me again just to worship. Thank you, God. Thank you, you're a God of mercy. Although we deserve judgment, you choose to be merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. It brings us to worship again. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I know that we and I deserve all of the wrath of God, yet he chooses to be merciful. Brings us, the knowledge of God brings us to worship. So it was lovely to see people coming forward today. And let our hearts be soft to worship and to love upon this God who loves you so much. He loves you. 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 It's incredible. And Andrew was saying about, you know, getting excited about a football match. And I don't like football, but I know some of you do. But what I think Jesus is better than, sorry to say, better than football. Yeah. So if people can, you know, people can jump up and down, can kiss total strangers. We won. It's like, yes. And I know Roger and Jackie, they you don't kiss total strangers. But you know what I'm saying. You don't get people going mental, ballistic, crazy, excited for a bag of air. Last week I was in Dublin. I went with Caleb. Oh, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. So sit down, strap on in. We had a really good time. It was very, thank you for asking, really good time. And we met, there was 130 guys that met together in a beautiful conference center right out in like a national park. It was kind of like not mountains, but just beautiful countryside. And we had some amazing times. Gary was there. We had some amazing times, didn't we? And it was some great teaching and lots of banter with the guys. God was doing business. Guys were doing business with God, and it was a really wonderful, beautiful time. And Caleb and I, at the end, we went into Dublin. We had a meal together, and then we tried to get back to the airport. And every bus that we tried to get on was complete chock-a-block. Couldn't get on. So I'm looking at the time thinking, my goodness, we need to. So we ended up just jumping on a local bus that went all around the houses, literally all around the houses, dropping people off. So it wasn't the express bus. I will get to the point in a minute. But as we got on, as we were on the bus, it was totally chock-a-block and rammed. Caleb said to me, there's some guys singing Christian songs on the bus. And I didn't hear it, but there were three young guys of about 17, and they were just singing quietly and just talking about things of God. And so I sort of like squeezed through and got close, and we started to speak and to talk. Do you know what? Those young guys so inspired me. Was amazing. I was seeing something in them that was just inspirational. And one of the guys, he was a really cool guy. He had like a bandana on, and he just looked cool. Do you know what I mean? And they were from All Nations Church. I don't know where they were from, but they were all different nationalities. And this one guy said, you know, I've experienced and encountered something about the secret place and the importance of meeting God in the secret place, and just the strength that comes out of meeting God with in the secret place. And I looked at him, and I thought, there's something incredibly mature in you and in your life and in your relationship with God that people that are, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times older than you don't have. You've encountered something. There's something that there's an overflow. There's a maturity. There's something in your life that is going to set you on an incredible course if you carry on going in this way with God. And I came away from we Yeah, we just talked and shared, and I was just sharing about some of my experiences. I was trying to encourage them. They were trying to encourage me. And it was just a beautiful exchange that God set up, because I wasn't even supposed to be on that bus. We were supposed to be on the... And then he said, you know, actually, the whole of the upstairs of the bus, there's 35 of us. He said our youth group was 4 people a couple of years ago. Now it's 70. And we're all going to a jump-in, a kind of like a trampoline thing, and we're all going to go and celebrate a birthday. And all of these young kids came off, and you know, they were saying, you know, just the attitude, thank you to the driver, you know, bless you. And it was just beautiful. It was just a beautiful experience. And I came away so inspired by meeting with these young people that talked about the secret place. And so I want to just share a little bit about that. But there was something that he said that we could... that I need to grasp further, something that, and that we need to that place of getting alone, just getting quiet with God, that can strengthen your life like nothing else. And I kind of spoken about this before, but I think I'm just going to keep on speaking it until I feel that either God tells me to stop or somebody says, okay, I've got it, I'm doing it. You know. So, yeah. Matthew 6, 5 to 10. It says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everybody can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward that they will ever get. Yeah. You know, when man pats you on the back and says, well done. That's your reward. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you. Pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating the words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Isn't that amazing? before the words even get off the end of your tongue, God knows what you're going to pray. He knows your heart. He loves you. How can we not worship? So he said, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so when... And you know that. That's a very well-known scripture. But get in the secret place. Shut the door. It's not for man's applause or your wife or your husband's or anybody else's. It's so that you can get alone before your God and worship and adore him. And God's been speaking to me time and time again, saying, if I'm not doing that and I'm not weeping and I'm not dancing and I'm not worshiping and I'm not kneeling and I'm being authentic in the quiet place where nobody's looking, then my worship here is a performance. Seriously is, because it's very easy, isn't it, to come to church and just to we've learned it, we lift our hands and there's like that young boy was saying. He said, I've encountered something that has transformed and changed my life, and it's come from meeting God in the secret place. And, you know, it's, he says, you know, when you get in the secret place, shut the door so nobody else is looking and pray our Father. So it's about him. It's about him. It's not about me, but it's about, first and foremost, the focus is about him of worship. I love you, Lord. You're incredible. Your kingdom come. And, he talks about our Father. So, this is celebrating the fact that we're part of a community together. We're on a journey together, a mission, that a vision that God has given to us that we got to fulfill. May your kingdom come. It's what you want. But I've got all of these things that I need, and I want this, and I want, but it's, may your kingdom come. It's what you want. What do you want? I want to get in that secret place to hear your voice speak to me about what you want me to do. It's not about
all about me and my wants. Your will, your purposes, your heart. So have you done it? Are you doing it? I know some of you are. And this is not, as I said, I think a couple of weeks ago, if you come away feeling condemned and thinking, actually, I'm such a dirty, rotten sinner, I can't do anything, and you walk out and you don't change anything, I failed. My job is, I'm not here to condemn, I'm here to encourage and to point and say, this is what we've got to do. If you're feeling down and discouraged and weak, then take responsibility and get into the secret place and love upon him and let him love upon you. You got to take responsibility for your own faith walk, because I can only do so much. I can only stand up here and plead and beg and cry and shout and do whatever I need. Some try to make you laugh, try to do what, you know, I'm trying my best. But at the end of the day, it takes you to take those steps, get into the secret place, shut the door, come before God and do business with him. And I'll tell you what, if we start to do that more and more, and we can encourage more of us, things will shift and change. And, you know, like Andrew said, the worship will go to another level. We'll surge. Like, we can't wait to gather together. Can't wait to be together, to worship together. So the secret place is a place where we don't pray for, as I said, the applause of others, for show, for a pat on the back. We don't do it for man's applause. We do it to move closer to God. The secret place. Shut the door. Worship him. Hear his voice. Revelation comes. Encouragement comes. Strength comes. Excitement comes as you read the word. Wow, never seen that before. That's amazing. You know, I was saying, you know, the word washes, the word strengthens, the word is living and active. So there's something about sitting in that place and digesting and reading, and God's spirit is moving, and you've got something to go into the day with. You'll go out with the packed lunch that you've made, but you can go into the day with some spiritual lunch. Because you feasted on it. I've got something. I've got some sustenance for the day to go into the day with. And it's not about a ritual, is it? It's relationship. Yeah, and I mean, how many times? I know you guys, most of you guys have been in church a long time. Thousands of sermons. Thousands. Thousands. Literally. Thousands of sermons. Don't need another sermon. Another sermon. It's like, but I am trying to encourage you. Please get my heart. Please get my heart. Please. I want to encourage you. This is such a critical thing. There's encouragement in that place. Anybody need some encouragement today? One, two, three. Just a few. Yeah. So I can do what I can do to encourage you. But do you know what? Getting into the secret place. Meeting with God. That's where the deep encouragement's going to come from. The encouragement that brings, it sustains you. That's you're only going to get that from, you're not going to get that from listening to a sermon or listening to me. You're going to get that from going into the, doing what the Bible says, going to that secret place and meeting with him. So power comes from being in that place. Encouragement, revelation, conviction, joy, worship, praise, thanksgiving, weeping, dancing, gratitudes. And, you know, when we come on a Sunday, it's not like we need three fast songs to kind of get into the mood. Because we'll already be there. You've been doing it before you even came to church on a Sunday. Wow, that's a bit. And you would have done it Saturday morning and not had a day off because it's Saturday. Come on, just chill out. Give me a rest. No, you want to. And you've done it Friday and Thursday. And so when you come to community group on Tuesday, let me tell you what God's been speaking to me about. You've got something to bring. So are you getting, it's just so, so fundamental. That young boy, 17-year-old, Mr. Cool with a bandana. And I'm like, I wish I had what he had at that age, and I grasped what he had experienced. I wish I'd had that. And guys, I'm just telling you because this is so critical and so important. You know, so Sundays and our comm groups, they're going to overflow with what's happening in us personally. Love upon him. He loves you. He loves you. Love upon him. I heard this story. Neil Martin, a member of the British Parliament in the 80s, he was giving a group a guided tour of the Houses of Parliament. As he was walking around, and during the course of the visit, a good friend of Neil's, Lord Hailsham, he had a very important role in the government at the time, and he was dressed in his his official robes for a meeting, and he saw him across the room, and he shouted, "Neil!" And feeling overwhelmed by the surroundings, and think it was part of the protocol, the group that was with him all immediately dropped to their knees and knelt down. Ali's just got it. Like, oh, Neil. Oh, Neil. Yeah, nice. Yeah. That's not worship. That's a misunderstanding. Yeah? You know, we can all kind of just drop to our knees, but that's sometimes we're just, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, is it really worship or is it just, oh my goodness, I feel awkward now. He's told everybody to kneel. Everybody's kneeling. Come on, we've all been there. Seriously, haven't we? We have. Let's be honest. Sometimes, you know, we're not in that place, and then we thought, okay, this is so awkward. I'm going to. But, you know, you are so loved. So incredibly loved by God. I don't think we actually realize just the riches and the wonder and the joy of what it is to know Jesus. So, as I said, if we're not worshiping in our homes, meeting with God in the secret place, then, you know, it's going to overflow into our lives. So this morning, I just want to look at, sheesh, I've been going 25 minutes already. I want to look at Hannah's prayer of worship, a song, heart of a worshiper. For those of you who don't know, Hannah was the mother of Samuel, and Samuel, that was one of the stories in the Bible that just caught my attention when I was young. Samuel and Eli going into the temple. Do you ever read that story? I love that story. I still love it. So Hannah was the mother of Samuel, and Samuel served Eli the priest as a child, and then Samuel grew to become Israel's priest in later years. But Hannah had a beautiful heart to worship God, to love him. And the background is that she isn't able to have children. And because of that, she's sad and she's mocked by her family that she isn't able to have children. And so she prays this prayer. And I know some of you will know this story, but let's just read the Word of God. We've been talking about how the Word of God washes and builds and encourages and strengthens us. So let's read the Word. And let's read it with faith. Let's just drink it in. Let's do this together. So 1 Samuel 1, verse 11. And so this is her. She can't have children. She's in this place where she's being mocked. She's sad. And so she's prays this prayer. Lord of heaven, of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. And he will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. And so she prays this prayer. She's in a desperate place. She prays this prayer to God. And do you know what? What does God do? Help me here. Yeah. I'm not trying to catch you out. She prays this prayer. God hears her prayer. He blesses her. And she gets a child. Her first child, Samuel. What a precious gift. I've not been able to have children, but now God hears her prayer.
And so let's read 1 Samuel 1:24-28. So when the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a three-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. "Sir, do you remember me?" Hannah asked. "I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord the whole of his life." And they worshipped the Lord there. And so here she prays to God, and God hears her, and then she brings the boy, nurtures the boy, and he gets to a certain age, and then she says, "Right now is my time to go, and I'm going to give him to Samuel, and I'm going to dedicate, going to give him to Eli." And she named him Samuel, which sounds like the Hebrew word for heard of God. And so you can imagine this, every time she mentioned his name, it's like she's saying, "God heard me." When I was working in the detention center, we had a guy called Thank God Reuben. I love that name. I've said this before, but you know, they'd put on the tannoy, "Can Thank God Reuben, Thank God Reuben, please come. Please come to the refectory." What a name! Thank God Reuben. But his name was, we're so boring, aren't we? Our names don't really mean very much. We don't put any much significance on English names. But anyway, his name, Samuel's name, was heard of God. God heard me. It was a testimony every time. "Samuel, come here." She's actually saying, you know, God heard me. Reminding herself. It's like she was saying, "This boy is a gift from God. God heard my cry." It's a constant reminder. And so she named him that. So she was remembering her. I think in the back of her mind also, she remembered that she made a promise to God. "If you give me a son, I'm going to dedicate him to you." And so we read then about, he was weaned, about maybe 3 or 4 years old. Hannah brings him to the temple and dedicates him to God and leaves him there with Eli the priest. And I'm not going to talk about it, but you know the story, don't you? When he wakes up in the middle of the night and, you know, "Speak, Lord," and all of that. Wow, so love that. But anyway, that's another part. That's a bit later on. So she hands hands Samuel over to Eli, and she bursts, and we're going to read this in a minute together. She bursts into a song. She bursts into praise. She bursts into thanksgiving. And it's a beautiful prayer. It's a beautiful song of worship that just pours out of her, because she's just so thankful to God. And so it's 1 Samuel 2:1-11. I know it's quite a long passage, but like I say, I it's good to read. And maybe we could read it together, shall we? Ooh. Is that all right? Let's just push the boundaries here. Okay, so let's read it together. And let's read it with faith, and let's just get the sense of excitement. And, you know, she cannot contain herself. She is just going for it. So it says, "And then Hannah prayed, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Stop acting so proudly and haughty. Don't speak with such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows what you've done, and he will judge your actions. The bow of the mighty is now broken, and those who stumbled are now strong. Those who were well fed are now starving, and those who were starving are now full. The childless woman now has 7 children, and the woman with many children wastes away. For the Lord gives both death and life. He brings some down to the grave, but raises up others. The Lord makes some poor and others rich. He brings some down and lifts others up. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage heap. He sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. For all the earth is the Lord's,
and he has set the world in order. He will protect his faithful ones, but the wicked will disappear in darkness. No one will succeed by strength alone. Those who fight against the Lord will be shattered. He's from the heaven. And the Lord judges throughout the earth. He gives power to his king. He increases the strength of his anointed ones. Then Elkanah returned home to Ramah without Samuel, and the boy served the Lord. Well done, everybody. Well done. So here she just can't contain herself. She blurts this out as a prayer, as a song. And it's a bit of a strange picture, don't you think? Because you think that she, as she's given over her son, she'll be bursting into tears. Feeling the loss. But here she's not bursting into tears. She's bursting into praise. She's bursting into wonder. She's bursting into love. She can't help worship and love upon him, thinking about his character and who it is. It's a weird situation where you've got a mother handing over her son with joy. So what's going on? How is she managing to do that? Well, she was in this place. She was worshiping God out of a place of sacrifice. She gave God her best. She knew that God had given Samuel to her, and that she'd made a vow before God, and her worship was to give God her best. And if you read that, we've read it together in the prayer, in the song. I'm not really quite sure what it is. It's a prayer, but it's worship, isn't it? There's nothing about her son in it. There's nothing about herself in it. It's all about God. It's all about God and his greatness and his character and his power. And what he's able to do, it's all about him. And I love our worship songs. I love our worship songs like that. I find it difficult when it's all about I, me, you know. I don't like, I love songs that speak about the magnitude of God, of his character. And that was her heart. It's about God, who you are. Nothing about, oh, God, don't you realize what I've done? I've just given you my son. And you should be grateful. It's like, no, God, you're awesome. You're incredible. You raise up kings. You raise up nations. You bring them low. There's no one like you. Talking about the character and the nature of God. She had an experience of God. She knew his character. What about you? What about us? Does knowing God and pressing in and being in that secret place and reading the scriptures, and does that lift your eyes to God? Should. It does. Strengthen you. Strengthen you. It's beautiful. It's amazing. If you're not doing it, please start. You know, last week I said if you're struggling to read the Bible, please come and help see me, and I would love to give you, point you in the right direction, or to give you some, recommend a Bible or a reading plan. And I was actually I was sad because no one came up, and maybe everybody was doing it. But I was like, I was expecting that at least one person was going to say, Steve, you preach so well. And you inspired me. And please help me. But it was like, Steve, no friends sitting over there. Maybe you're all doing it. But I don't think everybody's doing it. Please, please pray with me, because I need this area of weakness strengthened in my life. Nobody came. It's not about me, but you know what I'm saying. It's like, worship isn't songs. You know, we know that, don't we? But even in our church, it's very easy, isn't it, to get distracted by, do we like the song? Do we like the style of worship? Do we like this? Do we like that? It's not for you. It's not for you. It's not for me. But I think more of a question is, was God pleased with my sacrifice? Was it a sacrifice? My sacrifice of worship to him. Was God pleased with it? Did I really show devotion today to God in how I gave myself to him? Because actually, the more I read in the Bible, Jesus really gave it to people strong. You know, you got to lay everything down. It's all or nothing. It's like, come on, Jesus, please make it more palatable. Make it easy. No, it's like Jesus was like, you got to lay everything down. Come die. You know, you take up your cross, follow me. It's all or nothing. And the more I read, I'm like, yeah, it's total devotion to you. That's the level that that Jesus sets in the Word. As we read the Word, how do we know that? We only know that from reading the Word of God. If you're not reading the Word of God, then we're not gonna know. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Yes. Are you sure? You've gone very, very quiet now, and I'm like, Jesus commands everything, complete surrender of everything. And, Andrew was encouraging you, come out of your seats, run to the front. And, the reason why we do that is because we want to be those that are devoted to him. We want to shake ourselves up. You know, sometimes it's just easy to kind of just sit there and just do the same thing and what we're trying to do is not make you feel awkward, but we're trying to create an atmosphere where there's an atmosphere of response. An atmosphere of freedom where people come out and, we're not constrained. And we can pray for one another, minister to one another, go and, where people can come and just prophesy and speak and just give the words that God's speaking. You know, when you're in the secret place and you're listening, you know what? This is not going to come as a big shock. God speaks. God speaks. You know, in the secret place, shut the door. Why? It's because sometimes God speaks in the still, small voice. Sometimes he speaks in a whisper. Sometimes he speaks in an impression. Sometimes he speaks just through scripture. So when we're giving ourselves to that, then we come with a word. We come with something to share. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? When you come together, someone's got a hymn and a word and that comes from meeting with God, listening to him. So it's very simple in one sense. What we don't want to do is be like a wedding reception. And Cara was at a wedding reception yesterday, and the place, we don't want church to be like a wedding reception where the place is beautiful, where the atmosphere is warm, where the music is wonderful, and the wine is good, and the food is excellent, and everybody's having a great time. And then somebody asked, where's the bride and groom? And they said, I don't know, they never turned up. We don't want worship. We don't want our services to be like that, where we've got all of this going on. But the presence of God, God's not there. We've forgotten him. Actually, our joining together is all about him, building a throne of worship for him, loving upon him, being transformed, changed by him. And if we're not careful to pursue him, to cultivate that atmosphere, then actually sometimes that can happen to us. Where is God? I've got detached from him. How's that happened? Come back. Come back to intimacy with him, loving upon him. Come back to that secret place. Come back to be strengthened with him. Get back into the Word of God. Get wowed by him. Receive his love. Get inspired. Get strengthened. God's plan for you is not that
You know, we just walk around weak and defeated. His plan is that we are strengthened. So Hannah didn't worship God out of obligation. It says that she regularly went to the temple to worship. She was a worshiper. She wasn't just worshiping God just because she felt she had to out of obligation. And you know what? As well, when she sang those words and when she was giving honor and love and worship, there was no lights or music. There was no smoke. There was no kind of like atmosphere that was created, you know, just to get the mood right. She comes just to worship, to love upon her God, just because of experiencing and encountering and knowing the character of who he is. And she says, and just look at a couple of bits. She says, no one is holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Stop acting so proud and haughty. Don't speak with such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows what you've done. He will judge your actions. So there's a recognition of the sovereignty of God. And a recognition of his sovereignty brings humility to our lives. He is so great. He is so incredible. He is so powerful. He is so holy that it brings humility to us, where we humble ourselves before God. He is the one that knows everything. He's the judge of all. Amazing. And so worship is about him. It's not about us. And do you know, the more that you spend time in the secret place, the more time you read, the more time that you spend getting to know him, that's going to affect your worship. The more time that you get to know him, when you know how good he is, worship is going to flow from your heart. Wow. When you see how holy he is, it's going to honor and reverence and love him. When you get to know him, when you get to know him, and I've been a Christian a long time, and I think I know a slither. I became a Christian when I was 8 years old. That's a long time ago now. I think I know a slither of who God is, his character. And that's still mind-blowing. That's still too much for a human mind to understand. Okay. Just a couple of things then, and then I will wrap up. True worship flows from the heart. So the first line that we read, that says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." So she bursts forth with that first line, and there's no regret in her heart. When you read that, it's like there's no regret at all. My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. There's no regret that she's had to give up this precious gift that she had to wait a long time for. And no regret at all. And she offers him back to God. And I think, let's be honest, for anybody that would be a tough thing to do, is to pray and to get the gift that you've wanted and then give him back to God. But that's the heart of a worshiper. That's the heart of, of sacrifice. And Romans 12 verse 1 says, you know, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And so there is, in one sense, to be the heart of a worshiper is to give to him, is to give love and honor and worship, and to give ourselves, actually, isn't it? Is to give everything that we are to him. Total devotion is what God wants from us. So Hannah was happy to do it. Samuel was a gift to her from God in the first place. And so true worship flows from a heart of gratitude and gladness. I think it was, you know, we would think maybe it was a sad thing that she had to give him to God and that she wasn't going to see him growing up. But do you know what? And this is a lie of the enemy. God never shortchanges anybody. That's right.
And God owes us nothing, actually. He owes you and me nothing. He is God. And he can do what he wants to do. Yet, he chooses to honor those who honor him. And it says there in 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Don't worry about putting it up. It's okay. It says that, but that God honors those who honor him. And this is, so now Hannah made that promise to God. She gives what is so precious to him. And was that the only children that she had? No, it wasn't. It says, and this isn't, you haven't got the scripture, but in 1 Samuel 2, verse 12, it says, then God blessed her with 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. Amazing. She couldn't have children. She prays, God blesses her. And she takes that first precious, most precious son, gives, and God blesses her with more children. So we don't worship God, do we, for what we can get in return. We worship him for who he is. Oh, he's so good, God. So good. And sometimes we look at our lives and we just think, oh, I'm going through the mill. Things are difficult. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop loving. Don't give up. Don't give up being faithful. Don't give up honoring God. Keep on going. And God will honor those who honor him and who are faithful to him. Okay, let's just... Let me just go through to this last point. So you can all breathe a sigh of relief. So you can just turn to the person beside you who said this is his last point. So as we said, worship isn't about a service. Worship isn't about going through the motions. You can whistle. Please do not. But you can. But I love that attitude. I'm going to find a way to worship. I've got all of these restrictions. And I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to find a way to worship because I've read the word. I've encountered him. There's something that has set my heart on fire and I cannot hold it in. So I'm going to find a way, however that is. Why do we come out? Well, the Bible talks about different types of worship: shouting, dancing, weeping, kneeling, being quiet, being loud sometimes, celebrating. So it's difficult sometimes to do all of that when we're just stuck in the confines of our chair. But as I said, if we're not doing it in the secret place first, it's going to feel very awkward on a Sunday. It's like, please give us two or three songs to warm up. But you won't need it. You'll just come into the flow. And just finally, then, true worship brings hope. You know, hope is something that I have meditated upon and thought about and realized is something so powerful. Because actually, if you lose hope, then life can seem impossible. But Jesus is the hope restorer. He can bring hope into your life. And I don't know where you are today, what is going on. If you feel that life looks so bleak and hopeless and you just can't see, what is the point of even carrying on? Jesus can bring hope into your life. He is the hope restorer. And you know, Romans, I was reading this the other day, Romans 5, verse 3 and 4. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Yeah. I was reading that thinking, wow, that's amazing. Because actually, in that process of going through problems and challenges and difficulties, at the end of it, God's building hope. He strengthens our confident hope of salvation. My version says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. So God's in a, God wants to be the one that restores hope to your life. And, you know, when we spend time in the secret place, how can it be anything else than encountering him that I come with an attitude of thanksgiving, of wonder, of worship, of praise? And, you know, so whether you're at home quietly meeting with God, if you're in church, let's not have a double standard. Let's, you know, we've got a big window in our house. If you've ever been to our house, we've got a big window and we don't have any net curtains. And sometimes we're in the front and we're like leaping and dancing around the front room, worshiping, music on. Our neighbor, as he just left, the one that's joined to us, I don't think it's anything to do with it. But we're, you know, and the couple that have just moved in are Christians. A young couple. We've been in that house 23 years, and we've never had any Christians in there. We've had a few, and they said, oh, what do you do? And that's always a good, you know, introduction. They said, oh, we're also Christians. Go to another church in the town. It's like, wow. She said, and we looked through your window and saw you got a big cross. And they said, oh, maybe, I'm sure they're not going to mind us playing Hillsong music. I was like, yes, come on, worship. But yeah, we're worshiping, we're dancing, we're loving God in our home. And it's a privilege to be able to do that. So let me just end. Hannah's song is a beautiful picture for us, just of a heart that is just so grateful and thankful and willing actually to lay everything down and give everything to God. I heard about a church conference where everybody was given a helium balloon. And they were told that during the service, just as a sign of letting go of stuff that has been holding you back, just, it's not a joke, Gary. that just to let go as a sign of, a symbol of, yeah, actually, I'm letting go of that thing that's been holding me back. I'm letting go of that unforgiveness. I'm letting go of this. I'm letting go of that. And, you know, during the service, balloons were going up. But the sad thing was that at the end of the service, a third of the people were still holding their balloon. Still holding onto hurts, unforgiveness, or whatever. It's stuff that's actually going to hold people back. Disappointments, failures, stuff that people just couldn't let go of. They held on to those things. They owned them. This is kind of like my identity. It's not your identity. It's not your identity. You know, and this is the last scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and 18. It says, For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. And another version says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And guys, I just want to encourage us in our pursuit of God. That as we worship him, as we spend time reading, as we make time for him, which is what we need to do, God is bigger than your problems, your difficulties, your troubles, your challenges, your resentments, your hurts, your disappointments, your failures. He's bigger than those things. And, you know, in that place of meeting with him, we give to him our brokenness. We give to him our burdens. We give to him our best as well. We give to him our worship. But don't hold on to things that actually God wants to take from you, because that is going to hold you back.
in your relationship with him and in your worship. And that's not God. That's not the message of the Bible. That's not God's intention for you. He wants to set you free. He wants to bring joy. And he wants to fill your life with worship and praise. So maybe we can just pray together. Just been talking about heart of a worshiper. And Lord, we don't want performance. We don't want to live from one week to another without meeting with you or reading your word. Lord, we want to be moved by you. We want to love upon you. We want, Lord, to laugh in the surprise and the generosity of your heart towards us. To weep, Lord, at the understanding that our sins are washed away, of gratitude and thankfulness. Lord, thank you that you're alive and that you speak. Please convict our hearts. Please convict us, Lord. Please help us to make time. Lord, help us to understand even more just how incredibly powerful your love is over our lives. I just want to ask if there's anybody here today and you have never given your heart to God, but that you recognize you need God, just as I did when I was 8 years old. I wasn't a big sinner. I hadn't done anything majorly wrong, but I knew that I needed God. I wanted God. No one needed to persuade me, twist my arm. I was hungry. I knew I wanted a relationship with God. And so it was so easy. Someone said, is there anybody here? And I was like, stuck my hand straight up. And I said, yes, I want it. And so this morning, I don't know if there's anybody here today that you want to respond to the mercy of God. If that's you, why don't you just put up your hand just so that I can pray for you. And be brave if it's the most important decision that a person can make. But you need to recognize, yes, this is what I want. I feel I want to give my life to Jesus. I don't know if there's anybody here today. Lord, I just pray for everybody here that you would set our hearts on you. Thank you, Lord, for every person that is here. It's not here by coincidence, but you, God, are working. You're drawing people. You're loving upon each and every one of us. And can I just ask us all to stand just as I finish? And just as a sign of response, why don't we just lift up our hands to the Lord just to say, here I am, God. Lord, we are standing here this morning just as your children who are so precious and loved by you. Lord, we don't deserve it, but thank you. Thank you that you continually love and protect us and walk with us. And today we just give ourselves afresh to you. Why don't you just in your own words, in your heart, just rededicate and give yourself to him and to pursue him. And to love upon him, even to a greater degree than you've done before. And Lord, I pray, Lord, please help us. Help us to be disciples that pursue you. Help us to be more full of your spirit and more full of you and the life, Lord, that you have for us. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, you just come and bring healing. You just come and bring conviction, that you move in power, Lord, just upon every precious life that is here. love upon them, Lord. Please convict them. Draw them to yourself. Change timetables. Change hearts, Lord. Change what you need to do for us to press in to a new walk with you. Thank you, Lord.